What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers! Welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is Tom. I'm here with Lotus. You guys know Hello. The deal. It is the patron episode for Spooptober. And Lotus, we have two guests this week. We have 20 people in our Patreon who are tier 4 or higher who could join us, and two people show up. I guess everyone's just busy because it's October, maybe? I don't know.
We did have several people say they couldn't make it. So.
It's true. Everyone seems busy tonight.
Timing was not great for this week, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's the last Thursday of the month. That's what we do. But we got two. We have the two most committed. Maybe that'll make other people be like, oh no, I'm more committed, and they're going to come back. The two most committed patrons. Rob the Princess and AK Spartan, welcome to the show, guys. How are you doing?
Doing good. It was a busy month for me, to be fair, but like it slowed down at this exact moment.
That was intentional. I did that. I've been following you around and changing your plans without you knowing. But welcome back to the show, Rob.
And, I couldn't have sounded creepier.
this is a creepy episode. Spartan, you good?
Yeah, I'm back. Doing well. It's funny. I actually got home like 2 minutes before this, and I'm leaving for plans like right after this. So I actually
adjusted your schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah. I base it around this. We're the most committed.
Most committed. This is a priority.
You.
Mm-hmm. So today we are everyone's probably wondering what we're talking about. We are talking about. This is another conversation about the next major Elder Scrolls game, Elder Scrolls 6, which they are currently working on because they've shipped Starfield, and we know that they're in the process of it. And the premise today is, with Starfield releasing, with what feels like a slightly barely above T rating, it seems like they were shooting for a T, and then the board was like, well, there's drugs, so we're going to make an M. But otherwise, it's very, very... I don't know, not as dark as many of the other games that they've put out. It's got more of this hopeful feeling. I posted recently on Twitter, and I'm not going to call it X, that, in fact, directly to Bethesda Studios. I used it as a reference to say we won't do it. Does that count? Anyway, I posted to say, hey, Bethesda, as you guys are working on the next Elder Scrolls game, can we make that like a hard M rating? Because this game thrives in like the really dark, like serious, spooky stuff. It's got other fun stuff in it too, but without some of that stuff, I don't feel like it's really going to resonate the same way that some of the other games do. And that's my opinion about it. But I want to hear from Rob and AK Spartan. I want to know what you guys think about when you think about the next Elder Scrolls game and how it needs to be situated from like a maturity rating. And we can go into whatever that means to you. Does that mean blood and gore? Does that mean violence? Does that mean language? Does that mean really dark situations and scenarios? Does that,
so,
you know,
the only
what is
thing
that?
I want to just point out is because you had mentioned Starfield, like just barely got that M rating, and you think it's probably because of the drug stuff. I'd like to think that it's not because of the drugs, but it's because of the fish the drugs are made from.
It's specifically the fish.
It's specifically the fish that got it the M rating.
It's a very adult fish.
Shaped like phallic or
something. It's a phallic fish.
Nope, they're just fish.
It looks like a big scary shark
fish,
kind of
offensive.
Thing. Yeah. But anyway, hey, who would like to start off? Rob, do you want to chime in here? I know that you are, we had a little bit of pre-show chat about this. I know that you're kind of in line with what I'm saying, but not all the way.
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess the modern M rating feels very different from the M rating that was in video games 20 years ago, just across the board. And we're seeing that in Starfield especially, but Starfield seems to be a little bit more closer to the T rating, as you said. But yeah. Even when a game does like embrace an M rating these days, it's it's not really that much of an M rating. So if we're trying to, I guess it depends how much
it's a spectrum.
How hard is this?
Right. Exactly? Right. It's a spectrum. It could be, oh, they drop a few F bombs and maybe there's a drug reference, or it could be like, this thing's almost like X rated, but didn't quite go that far. You know, like
right.
There's an entire spectrum, just like in the movies. Like some movies are like, this is R. Why is this R? Oh, it's got a few extra bad words in it, you know? And then other movies are like, oh my God, they're lopping people's heads off. This is really dark.
If a game's embracing the M rating now, they're just dropping a few more F bombs and the game's more gory. And that's really as far as it goes.
Well, what about like Cyberpunk? Cyberpunk, there's like full on intimacy scenes with nudity. There's much, much more language in it than something like Starfield. There's dark. I mean, there's a quest line in Cyberpunk where a guy crucifies himself. That's pretty dark. I mean, you know, like this could come in lots of different flavors, I guess, is what I'm saying. So if
yeah, it doesn't need to be like Gears of War
style. I would
style.
Definitely appreciate if they just allowed it to approach more mature subjects, whether the like visual, like I don't care if we have nudity or not in Elder Scrolls. They're going to mod it in anyways, as Lotus was joking about before.
yeah. And I agree about that. I could care less about like, oh, can you see some boobies in the game? Like, I don't care about that.
No one but really subject cares. Matter. And if you do, then you're probably a modder.
Or you're right. 12 years old and you're like, ooh, boobies. but I think you're right. You're on the right track. It's the subject matter stuff. So when it comes to subject matter stuff, where is the line there? Where do you feel like, okay, this kind of thing needs to be included? Like you mentioned a cannibal when we were talking about other possibilities for like dark characters and things like that. Aeola in Skyrim is a cannibal. That is a dark topic, right?
Yeah, and it really is. But I don't know. It's just like they bring in like children murdering, you know, each other and stuff like that. Not directly, but it's like implied with the Dark Brotherhood stuff in Skyrim. Like the kid didn't actually murder anyone, but he like dug up a corpse and did this creepy ritual. And so it's like child murder is a theme, even though it's not directly happening. So they're already crossing a lot of lines and kind of playing with what's what on the rating. So yeah, I guess if we were to just be able to cross that line further and go see some really creepy dark stuff, that would be cool. I guess I just don't need it because I'm probably going to enjoy the game anyways. And there, I know the makers of the game don't like to shoot for rated M games because that means less sales generally.
Theoretically, it means less sales. It means it's harder, at least from the front end, to justify sales to teens and people like that. But it's also, most of these games aren't being sold in a storefront situation anyway.
Right. You know, to be fair, ESO was intended to be a T-rated game and they could not get it to pass originally in terms of like Elder Scrolls things. They shot for a T-rated and were basically said, no, this is absolutely not. It dealt with two, I believe this is from memory, so I could get this wrong. So if this is the reasoning and it's off, you know, throw this useless information in the trash. But it was the themes more than anything else that actually were the problem with Elder Scrolls Online. And then they added the over the top like executions and stuff like that with Dark Brotherhood when they're like, well, we already have an M rating, we might as well like do whatever we want then. But originally there was no blood really in ESO.
Yeah, that's so weird to me. Okay, so let's maybe what would help with this, Rob, is like denoting certain things. So if you have blood, let's just talk about blood. There's vampires, there's a lot of blood, there's all sorts of bloody stuff.
Yeah, blood, right? Gore.
If they went with a T rating and you couldn't, you swung at your enemies but blood didn't splatter, would that bother you?
Oh, is blood splatter purely M rating?
It might be.
No.
On some level.
You can get away with it to a degree.
Right. But what if it's like super tame? What if there's like.
I will say, when I'm playing like those RPG games, or better yet, Darktide, a great example of this. Those chainsaw weapons that they have in Warhammer Darktide, just seeing the viscera grind apart on your enemies, that's cool as hell.
It is. It's really cool.
I'm pro gore when it comes to that. Okay. I don't like gore when it comes to like a horror movie aesthetic of it, or it's like, oh, we're going to slowly slice this person open. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, like murder porn.
Right. What about, and feel free to chime in, you know, Spartan, and then Ben's here too. Ben, welcome to the show. We're talking about Elder Scrolls 6 and what's going to constitute the rating, and are we shooting for an M rating? Do we want an M rating? Is T going to be okay? All right. So in that case, a T-rated game probably wouldn't have, obviously, let's not talk about like the whole torture and people dying, getting their skin flayed and stuff, but you might end up in a situation where there was like a Daedric cultist who was doing stuff like that. And now you see the remnants of what was going on, you know, gut gardens. And we talked about stuff like that on, like that exists in Elder Scrolls lore.
What Oblivion, when you come back and was it Lucian? What's his name?
Lucian Lachance. Yeah, Lachance. Missing all his skin.
Yeah,
yeah. Or I even mean, just the Night Mother in her tomb being all like dead looking. Like that might.
I guess the more we're chatting about it, the more you're winning me over. At first, I'm like, no, we don't need it. But I'm like, well, no, it would just be cooler. I don't think Elder Scrolls is going to ever take it too far because it's something other than Elder Scrolls.
Well. So I think really my only goal here is just to chime in with random tidbits you can go off on, because mentioning Oblivion specifically, Oblivion started with a T rating, was recalled, and then re-rated M, the Elder Scrolls 4. And it was partly because, from my understanding, the Dark Brotherhood quest, yes, there was a Lucian Lachance thing, and there was a mix of the themes related to who was the mystery assassin, getting rid of the assassins, and you having that really weird situation with his mom's head, which was a mixed bag of themes slash also, holy crap, his little memorial cave, I guess we'll call it.
Yeah.
Really, like, I know that was like, why didn't you bring this up when we were asking you for your ratings? And they're like, oh, it was just a quest. and I know it caused some problems.
All right, so let's
that was a mix of theme and gore.
Yeah, real quick, let's just bring everybody into the conversation, because this is going to be kind of just a hodgepodge. There's only three guests on, there's only a few of us, so if you guys want to chime in, we won't necessarily go to each of you to talk about, you know, the same thing over and over again, so please feel free to chime in. How would all of you feel? Let's go to the Dark Brotherhood. In order to summon the Dark Brotherhood, you have to have your little seance thing, and then there's the heart on the ground, and there's all the other stuff, and is bloody and gross. In a T-rated game, that would, I mean, can you get away with that? I mean, that's pushing a boundary, like human viscera on the ground in a satanic ritual. Like,
artistically done very accurately, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you could say that closed Minecraft door reference over there was where the ritual happened, but we don't actually see it. Is that disappointing? What do you think, Ben?
It'd be very disappointing.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. And it just kind of goes to like, even Batman rated M with Arkham Knight when they had all the, just like the Dark Brotherhood with the Black Sacrament. They had a whole entire like investigations where Batman's going off and finding people strung up along walls and covered in blood and all that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, with how dark the lore can get in Elder Scrolls, it would be weird not having rated M.
Yeah, I agree. Spartan, what do you think? Where's the boundary on like blood and guts?
Well, I think so. The biggest thing for me is I would like to see them try to do more creative stuff with it. Like, I think of like, so like, is there is there anything like, do Daedra bleed a different color than mortals?
I believe so.
In Elder Scrolls, because
Azure.
Yeah, because like I think of like that's something that comes up in like Elden Ring, like the Albinorix bleed silver, and you can kind of like connect dots on who is what culture and like who is high secretly working for who and this and that based on like if you attack them and how they bleed. And I think that like if like you could have a quest even where like maybe you're in a city, maybe you're in like a city in Tamriel, and there's a Daedra in disguise and they get like injured and the blood is like how you know that's who that was. Like, I think that they could get a little more creative with it. And I also think that like some of the quests like in Skyrim, I feel like the intentionality behind like the gore and everything is there, but like it almost like reads a little bit more funny, even though it's not supposed to. Like, I kind of think some of the Aventus Aratina stuff is like a little funny
And well, like, dark humor is another staple of the series.
Absolutely. And like, I'm not like creepy complaining about that. Yeah, like it's creepy and funny, but I would like a little more just like creepy and creepy.
Yeah, and there's definitely creepy and creepy. Like there's, again, it's a spectrum, right? Like you've got like creepy and creepy stuff. You've got like cannibalism. And
Iolo was not funny in any way, I don't think. Like, if you found it funny, that's your...
I did find all of the little zingers that cannibal party had pretty funny when you're talking to them and the guy's like, oh yeah, I told you it was the dogs getting the meat or whatever. He's like, they all do still have like little zingers. Like Iolo is not funny, but like that little party of like, oh, you thought my husband died, like ha ha, like we're just eating him, like there is like some humor there.
And there's also, you know, the Moloch Ball mace quest. That's not funny.
I mean, let's just pure torture. Yeah, let's raise it to some of the Daedric princes.
Well, it's like,
that's not, Moloch Ball stuff is never funny.
Right. There are certain Daedric princes that are just dark. Like, there's no sense of humor to
that. And they're, you know, they deal with much more sketchy themes.
Right. Well, and that's the, for me, that's the boundary. Like, I don't need storylines about rape. I don't need storylines about like other types of abuse that are like really dark and sinister in that sort of like that area kind of thing. If but like
overcoming abuse, I can vibe with that at times. But yeah, so the rape thing off the board altogether.
Yeah, I don't need that in the game. And by me saying it needs a hard M rating, I'm not saying like it needs to be as disgusting and terrible as possible. That's not my point. The point is that it shouldn't shy away from blood and guts. It shouldn't shy away from dark things like murder, like sanctioned murder. Like that's a theme. There are two different factions in Elder Scrolls that do that. Racism is a very common theme across all of the games. Like, how do you deal with that in a serious way, but like keep it tea? I mean, that's slavery. Like that's
also
dark.
Point out, I'm pretty sure there is not a single Elder Scrolls game, at least in the main lines NESO, and some of the sad games might be an exception. None of them are rated T or like lower. They're all M. So we're not, I don't think we're ever going to go below M.
It seems to be the trajectory of the studio, though. Like, if
Morrowind is actually T.
Is it? Okay, that was...
How is Morrowind T? It's because everything's made out of 20 polygons?
Unless I'm mistaken, this is going to probably blow your mind. Unless I'm mistaken, I actually believe the only M-rated ones are Oblivion, Skyrim, and ESO.
Well, they should have rated those M because
they 100% should have, especially Battlespire.
Yeah. They just got like less boobs in the game as the games went on.
Correct.
Right. And the dark stuff didn't feel as dark. Like, here, let me just chart the trajectory. You've got some really dark stuff happening in Morrowind. You've got skooma all over the place. You've got sanctioned murder. You've got blood and guts. Like, I mean, yeah, it's 12 polygons of blood and guts, but it's still blood and guts, right? And then you have Oblivion and then the Fallout games, right? Like Fallout 3. Pretty dark. And then you get Skyrim. It's not quite as dark. And then you get Fallout 4, even less dark. And then 76, well, ESO jumps in there along the way. And then 76, less dark. Starfield, even less dark and disturbing. It's like the general trend seems...
I think the overall theme of the game comes off less dark, but the terms you use to describe Morrowind also apply to Skyrim.
It's true. Some of those features are in there as well.
All of them. 100% of those features you named are in Skyrim. But I agree that like it does just feel less dark. And I don't know what changes there. The subject matter didn't change much. The stories that were told changed.
You know what it is? They're less Kirkbrightian
with it.
I mean, we became numb with it, but they're also less Kirkbrightian. Kirkbrightian stuff is pretty twisted in a like...
Yeah.
In a very creepy, weird kind of way. And it, as we move further from that, also Skyrim's now like what, 12, 13 years ago.
Unfortunately,
It's been that long. And the only examples we have since then are ESO, Fallout 4, Fallout 76, and then Starfield that are part of that same, I would consider part of that lineage of game style.
Was the card game like, did that get like a mature rating because of like the
Legends?
Art?
Legends was
Legends pretty intense on the art?
Some of them were. Also, I wanted to do a correction because I was like, I wanted to make sure that was true. A mixed bag. Actually, Daggerfall was M. Okay. Battlespire is M. Redguard is T. Oblivion is T/M. Because it changed. I have Oblivion both versions of the M.
Oh, okay.
It got re-rated.
Right. Yeah. What is it? Morrowind is T. Arena was before the rating system existed, it seems like.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because the rating system didn't come out till the first Mortal Kombat, because Ed Boon wanted to, you know, do everything, and then that's when, oh, we need to have a board for ratings.
Yeah, teenagers are getting corrupted by all the blood and guts. Yeah.
Right, so the actual arena box doesn't have a rating, so I was a little Mortal off Kombat. On that. It's a mixed bag of what they're rated.
Okay, all right. All right, so... where do we stand on this now? Like, Ben, do you have any other thoughts on this?
I mean, at this point, just keep it rated M, because it's just, I don't know.
But are we bordering on M close to T, or are we...
Yeah, let's talk specifics. Like, what does that mean for you? Like, what things, if they didn't include, because they were shooting for a T rating, whether they hit it or not, if they're shooting for that and they start removing stuff...
I would be, like, middle ground in the M rated, not, like, super hardcore, like, Grand Theft Auto, but, like, also not close to T, like, right in the middle to where people can enjoy it still... And not have to, if you don't want to deal with the dark aspects of it, you can still enjoy it. But then there's, you know, the dark aspects with like the Dark Brotherhood and Daedric Princes and all that fun stuff.
All right. So let's break it down in specifics. Cannibalism. If they didn't include anything having to do with cannibalism, would you be okay Fallout. With it? You're like, oh, go play Fallout.
Staple at this point.
I mean, it does. Yeah, it feels like a Bethesda staple. It shows up in like lots of stuff.
Like cannibalism in fiction, it just gives me the heebie-jeebies. I don't hate like, oh, it can't be in there. It just like when I experience it, God, it gives me the creeps. But like some of my friends love it. They think it's hilarious, and I can't relate to that.
Yeah, that was not the direction I thought you were going. You were like, I hate cannibalism in fiction, but it's like, but in real life, it's fun.
I'm fiction cannibalism in real
all
life.
Day.
My neighbor's a really nice guy, everybody. Like,
and my other neighbor tastes amazing.
All right, so let's move on from cannibalism. Let's talk about scantily clad boob armor.
Yeah, think back that, to Arena and that
irrelevant,
or even you know, Daedra. Like for example, sometimes they'll have certain types of creatures that are like half person, half you know other
dark
body.
Seducers.
I know.
A dark seducer, or
brigands are resistance pretty, potions from Flame Atronach,
like. Right? Or like you know, Medusa looking things. Like sometimes in the past they haven't worn clothing because. They're monsters, right?
Right.
Like, is that?
Yeah, that was a common theme for a long time in the series.
Well, they weren't.
I mean, with
not
that,
wearing
I mean,
clothes because they're monsters. They weren't not wearing clothes because the developers were like, we get to put boobies in.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, because all of the temples and stuff like that, when you went to the Temple of Diabella, they were making sure you knew where you were. It's like, okay.
Yeah. So okay. So here's the comparison. Baldur's Gate 3, you choose your genitalia, and there are romanceable things that happen all throughout that game. Cyberpunk, same thing. You choose your genitalia, and there's romance stuff that happens, right? That's par for the course on two of the, now, since Cyberpunk has been fixed, highest rated RPGs that have come out in the last few years. Is that something we should expect in Elder Scrolls, or is that past the line?
I mean, at that point, it's just, I wouldn't think they would put it in personally, because it's just...
That's what she said.
Nice.
Nice. Nice. But not so much what do you think will they put in, but do you think that would be a good idea? Like, would that show that they're like, clearly that trend works. Those games sold. They have an audience. Do you think that that's a good thing to model?
I mean, it's a good thing to model if it works, but with Bethesda, I don't think it would work in their games because that's not what it's about compared to like Cyberpunk and Baldur's Gate. Like, there's a whole immersion on that aspect of the lore in the games and everything.
Games sold because they had titties. I think correct. Those games sold because they were good games.
Yeah, I'm not saying
interesting
it's
content.
Right. I'm not saying it's something that will help the game sell. But it does also make the world more real, Like, right. These are real people with real bodies. They do real things. They romance each other. They end up in different kinds of situations. And the Witcher games, same kind of thing. Like, they didn't sell because, oh, you can see Triss's boobs. They sold because the storylines were good, and these felt like real people in real situations. And sometimes
they sold because of the hot tub scene with Geralt.
Right.
Exactly.
But sometimes in a real situation, in a hot tub, you know, or whatever, yeah. Right? I don't know.
I feel like
I'm playing a little devil's advocate because I don't know that it's necessary. But
it seems totally nice.
I don't think it's necessary.
Totally just like a normal, like, I don't know. It seems like when the setting fits, it's like, okay, it's pseudo medieval times. It doesn't really seem that out of whack when, you know, their religions don't specifically, like, they're not exactly super chaste in the Elder Scrolls, so, like...
Yeah, they're not prudish. Like, it's like, not a
so
thing.
So, kind of,
yeah.
Especially with, like, dark elves and stuff like that, it actually is almost weirder to the scripting that it's not in there.
Right.
But it shouldn't really be the focus.
Okay, so tangentially, let's say they're designing a world that feels more lived and more realistic. So they have bigger cities with more realistic types of locations you can go into a city. It would make sense that some of those cities might have a brothel. Do you feel like that would help immersion, or would you just be like, ah, get that out of my Elder Scrolls game? Everyone's like,
it's OG Elder Scrolls content. I
think people might appreciate that it's going more back to how the series started. Yeah.
Oblivion and Skyrim are the ones who took that away from us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think we need to focus on it a lot.
Right.
But, like, having it exist, sure. And that's kind of how I think about all of it. Like, the nudity, I don't think it's necessary. I don't need nudity in the game, but, like, if they put it in there, sure, I guess. I'm going to play the game regardless, and the nudity is not going to have an impact on it. The brothel, if it's there, that makes it feel more like the Elder Scrolls world when it was built, and that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Instead of just taking it away, and it's like, well, what the heck? Because it's just they're changing the lore at that point if they're taking things that were in the world that you could go see and now they don't exist.
Right. What do you think, Spartan?
Yeah, I feel like something like a brothel, like, it just feels like part of, like, a city. Like, Game of Thrones has brothels, and it's a similar, you know, it's got something like that. But with the romance stuff, I do agree with what Ben was saying. I feel like, because the games I think of when I think of romancing, like, in that sense, are like the Mass Effect trilogy or like Baldur's Gate 3, I feel like are the two that stand out to me the most. And I feel like those games, like, you're forming a party. It's a small knit group. You're spending very intimate time, like Skyrim and those games are really, like, you might have a companion, but like companion is probably just carrying your stuff. Like, you're not having like a crew of like four or five people where you're going on a super long epic journey and you're intimately meeting them and you can talk to them after every mission. And it's like, you're going back to your base camp in Baldur's Gate 3, or you're going back to the Normandy. Like, it's more, you know, grand exploration. So like a brothel would make sense to me because it's in a city, like it's part of the world. But like, you don't really spend enough time with most Elder Scrolls or Fallout characters in like a personal closeness unless they're your companion.
Well, what about have a romance at that? In Skyrim, you can get married.
But even that, a little cutscene in a shop. Like,
right.
Marriages in Skyrim, like, they feel like very like the woman from Riverwood. Like, you basically you settle a beef between two dudes fighting over her, and she marries you.
Right, and then she hangs out at your house, and then you go back and visit her on occasion if you want.
And she, like, watches the kids you stole from Whiterun.
right. But wouldn't it make sense if you are really creating, what these games have traditionally done well is create a place that feels like a real place, a place where you can walk around and you can role play regardless if you're being the Dragonborn or not. You can walk around, you can explore, you can meet people, you can role play your character. And wouldn't it make more sense if you can go home and you can have a nice romantic dinner with your wife and an intimate evening and then go back out on your adventures again the next day? Like, is that something that would make it feel more real?
I would like that if the conversations were like deep enough to be like how, like, in like the games I was mentioning, like Mass Effect or Baldur's Gate 3, you go back to those ships and they have like very thought out things to say about what you did, who you saved, who you killed, what mission you did. You know, they have thoughts and feelings about all of that. And like, if that's what it's going to be, I think that would be awesome. And
it's not the Bethesda
game. They either lean repeated into it or back out.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It's not the five repeated lines every time you go up and talk to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Or him or anyone.
Hi, sweetie. I made you lunch. It's like,
hi. Our store made some profit. Here's your share.
Right. Yeah, like thinking more along the lines of more advanced than that. But Fallout 4, your companions had more substance to them if you gave a crap.
That's true. That's true. And a lot of people, for Fallout 4's faults of not having a voice protagonist, which a lot of people didn't like, they really did like a lot of the companions and a lot of the... Yeah,
Kate's story was messed up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the fact that you can kind of get closer to them. There's a certain redemption arc with a lot of them. And then a lot of people personally, they're like, oh, I love this character. I wish I could be in the world and romance that character myself because I love them so much or whatever. Right. Like that would make sense to have certain aspects in there available if you wanted to really role play that. And again, I'm just being kind of devil's advocate here. I don't know that I necessarily need it to be that detailed myself, but maybe
I specifically don't want them to half-ass it. If they're going to do romance stuff,
either go all in or don't bother.
Yeah,
exactly. Lean in or back out.
Okay. Well, tell you what, it's the middle of the show. We're going to go thank our patrons, and then we're going to talk about other things that could potentially be included or not included in an M or T rated game. So don't go anywhere.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is where we get to thank our patrons, including you guys, and welcome our new patrons. We don't have any new patrons this week, but we do have our Daedric Princes, Kirasi and Sheogorath Sweetroll, to shout out. They get shout outs every week. And thank you to all 126 of our current patrons. We couldn't do the show without you. You guys make this work, and so thank you for being here and supporting the show. If you're interested in checking out the Patreon, all the new t-shirts that are up, the stickers, the ad-free episodes, all the stuff you can get joining us on chats like this, then head over to patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast and check that out. Also, if you'd like to help us out in other ways, if you leave a 5-star review, we'll read it out on a future show on Apple Podcasts. And we don't have any new ones this week to read out, but you can also rate the show on Spotify or whatever podcast you're listening to this on, or share it with your friends or any of that stuff. All of that is extremely helpful. So thanks for being here. Thanks for your support. And let's move on with the conversation.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, so let's turn things back from this whole romance side of things to more of the blood and guts and the dark storyline things. Let's talk about combat. In Fallout 4, you could blow people's arms off. People could...
Bloody mess perk.
Yeah, there's bloody mess all over the place. I think that's super cool. Rob, you talked earlier about Darktide and being able to chop people in half and viscera going everywhere. How would you feel about a more, stylized or maybe more realistic combat system where you could actually do more chop a guy's hands off while you're fighting him and he drops his sword Rob,
there is a mod that I've seen a lot of videos on, and it's the same video I keep seeing, but it's a somewhat Souls style of gameplay of combat. Yeah,
this is a common mod thing where everyone's trying to turn Skyrim more into Souls-like combat. It's not exactly the same thing, but it's play in third person, use these more coordinated attacks and actual movement, and then there's more impact when there's mods that do impact when you hit things. Yeah, that is a thing that a lot of people mod into the game.
I mean, when it comes to the viscera and all that, I prefer it to not look realistic. I like it when it's overly done. So stuff like Doom and Warhammer Darktide, where it's just an absurd amount of blood splatter and all this, and it's just cool and fun and makes you really feel like you're in the grid of the action. I like that. If they go for the more realistic blood squirts and blood splatter, I won't hate it, but I like if they're gonna do the M rating, I want it to just be
just have an excess amount of blood in your body that your body can't physically hold.
Right, everybody's like a swollen grape that gets popped
or something.
Yeah. Okay, so here, let's go down this route. What if we have sword singing in Elder Scrolls 6 and you can do really cool combat moves that like chop a Dramora's head off in one move, and then all of a sudden like a fountain of blood spurts out, or you can pin a guy to a tree with your arrow and then you can like lop his arms off and then like stab him in the face, you know, and that actually is worked into the animations, but also in like the blood and the guts of the situation, because you're running around fighting a bunch of things. That's what you do in these games.
Well, sword fighting is messy if you're actually like aiming to kill your opponent. It's not like a clean thing.
Even when you're not, it can be messy.
Yeah, touche. And I kind of like the idea that Rob threw out of like the, if you're going to go for it, like you don't need to try to gross people out, like in terms of like, we're going to make you squirm because it's so realistic type of deal. I know you've played it, Tom. I don't know if anybody else has. Have any of you played Chivalry 2?
Yes, absolutely. It's great. I love
that's what I'm thinking.
And like knocking Chivalry their head off 2. With the chicken.
Mordhau, something like that, where it's like in that game you can, it's all PvP, but like if somebody lops off your arm, you can't use that arm in combat, so your combos change. I mean it'd be a little weird if you're a starfish in like the next Elder Scrolls game. It's like, I have my arm got cut off.
Well, maybe it doesn't happen to you, but it can happen to the people you're fighting.
Like,
right?
I would think that would be very cool if it's just like, you know, you get like it doesn't need to be one of those execution kill cams that Skyrim kind of put in. But like when people take enough damage to the body because they have the crippled limb thing in Fallout anyways, if that results in like, oh, that dude's arm just exploded and flew against a wall, it's like, okay, that would entertain me to literally no end.
Or what if you hit somebody with a fireball to their face? Like their skin could get charred. And we have we have the tech in games to do that now, you know, like you add a filter onto the face, or you place the skin texture or whatever when the fireball hits. And then like from that point on, they've got like scars on their face if they survive it. You know, that would be that would be freaking amazing.
I'm all in on that. I say go hog wild when it comes to that stuff.
Going back to the Fallout cripple, I mean, they could have it to where the like player character, you would have an indication that your arms or legs are crippled or whatnot, not getting like cut off, but compared to your, you know,
like break them, like put it on backwards or something.
Right.
Put it on backwards, just replace.
Or, you know, it just like falls to your side and you can't move it or something, but like your like enemies or whatever you're killing, they are actually, you can physically see like their arms get cut off or legs get cut off and whatnot, to have a little more immersion into it. And like there's magic, so you can just heal yourself after the entire situation.
Right. Yeah, you cast restoration and crack your arms back in place and it's good as new.
It's gonna hurt, but
sure.
yeah but I mean, what about the monsters and things? Like there are like animations for killing dragons in Skyrim. Like it would make sense that if you're climbing all over a dragon or whatever big monster and stabbing it and chopping a limb off or the head off or whatever, that it's going to be gory, right?
I mean, right. I think all of the conversation surrounding all action, I think we're all, it sounds like we're all on board. Just more blood, guts, and action.
Over the top, so you feel like it's like a battle.
Yeah. So if that's the case, if this is like go ahead, Spartan. Go ahead.
Well, I just think that it would really help with like build variety and like the feeling of immersion and stuff, because like in Skyrim, to me, like one hand, doing a one hand and shield or two hand feels different, but like doing a maul or a greatsword doesn't feel that different. Doing like a one handed axe or like a mace doesn't feel that different. Like it feels pretty similar. And like, I think if you were to ramp that up, like you could, like if you were using a mace, you could be like cracking limbs, you know, like doing some devastating blows. Whereas like if you had an axe, you know, it's more slicing and chopping and stuff like that. And you could work that into where, you know, it's not, you're not really actually adding a lot more in terms of like build, but you're making what's there feel more varied and helping with that sense of like build variety and immersion.
I think Skyrim has a good differentiation between blunt and sharp weapons. As for like the difference between an axe and a sword, maybe not as much, but
they tend to swing slower. They're similar animations, but okay, so this would be cool. What if you could like hit a dude in the head and his head gets like dented in, you know, like,
or like
a monster. Like, what if you're fighting a big, let's say you're fighting a mammoth, right? And you swing at its face and you've got a big hammer and you hit its tusk and the tusk breaks off. Or, you know, like you cut the trunk off the thing or its tail, or, you know, that would be cool. Or you break its legs, like a big hammer is more likely to break bones and limbs, and then you break the legs.
Animal, Tom.
And then it crawls after you. Or you fight dudes, you break their legs, and they all start crawling around.
See, now I'm starting to feel bad. I don't like this anymore.
I don't like going after the mammoth. One, that's terrible. Because
all right, so nobody wants to.
It's an evil mammoth.
We just want to murder people.
It's an evil mammoth. It's not a good mammoth. It's an evil mammoth.
There's giants.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. If I had a warhammer and I hit a dude in the head in the game, and I saw his skull like dent in, I might need to take a moment before I can keep playing.
Or what if you
break their arms and crush their knees, but like to watch their head go in? I don't like that.
What if you run up to a giant and you just swing at its knees with a big hammer and you just blow his leg out, and all of a sudden he's like, I don't know, crawling around after you, and then you squish his head with the hammer.
Yeah, send me flying into the sky now.
Yeah, give that a try, giant. I don't know. So these are thoughts that I have about this stuff. But I think here's where we're at, though. I think we're all in agreement that, like, general blood and guts and gore and cool fight animations and whatever are absolutely necessary for a series like this. We want that in
a combat game about martial combat. I mean, it makes sense. Like, right. It objectively doesn't make sense when it's not in martial combat
games. Also, make the spells more flashy than just sending a fireball from your arm. Bring in ESO spells.
Yeah, I would imagine that they're going to up that a little bit in the next one. But to continue my point, if they're doing what we want them to do with combat, that feels like an automatic M rating.
Oh, yeah.
So why not lean into the other stuff, too? A little bit. As long as it's not like, I don't know. I mean, I've got a boundary. I think most of us have boundaries. But
it comes down to the popular opinion. Because, yeah, we might have this opinion, but if the popular crowd is like, well, we are okay with the violence, but we aren't okay with, you know, all of this drug abuse subject matter, so we're gonna cut this out so that more people buy our game. And that's really what's gonna come down to.
On that note, because I think you do have a point, but I think it leads into the problem of something that maybe people definitely have said over the years, like, oh, they're dumbing down the Elder Scrolls. And I'm like, okay, well, streamlining combat, I don't feel is dumbing it down, because some of those old systems were garbage. I hate to tell those people, they probably didn't play Arena. The systems were largely crap, and they're much improved going forward. There are some other features that are really cool that I wish they would bring back. It's a balance. Like, so, you know, you don't want to overly streamline it. The situation with this is, which is something I've sort of found, but I still feel that they haven't totally lost it by any means. But some of the watering down, I feel like, comes with trying to make the game, this sounds bad, but it's not really, too accessible. Like, they're trying to make it so everybody can enjoy it, but as a side effect, nobody gets invested in it.
It's just like shooting for two like in a marketing team. If you shoot for everybody, you get nobody. You miss.
Correct.
You,
and
you don't
it's
have
not
a target
that I want people to be excluded from enjoying the series. But if you try to make something palatable for everybody, you just have like this very milquetoast thing that doesn't really actually do or say anything.
Yeah, it's too vanilla.
And the problem comes from, the counter to that is usually people just doing things for the sake of being extreme, which is also poor writing. Like,
right.
That's not better. Like,
right. Okay, so here,
tell the story you want. And with Elder Scrolls, it tends to not be so uplifting a lot of the times. They're sad and sadder most of the time.
Yeah, it's dark. It's a dark, terrible world. Okay, so one more topic before we wrap up the episode. What about drugs? Because skooma is a thing.
Skooma.
So there's chances like are
50 brands of liquor.
Right. There's a lot of. Okay. So let's talk specifics, though. Skooma is going to be in the game. We're going to have alcohol. Those things make sense in the game, right? How far do you want that to go? What happens when you take skooma? Do you think you should be able to take drugs in the game? Let's just move on to that step, because that's pretty par for the course for the games,
right? I mean, I would say yes, more on the line with when it comes to, you know, gameplay and everything, it's all stat boosts and stat buffs with some disadvantages and whatnot. Fallout does it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Baldur's Gate does it. Every RPG has this. I mean, and it's also, you know, medieval-esque fantasy. I mean, I'm okay with it as long as they don't go as far as like only have adults be the ones using it.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. When it comes to kids, that's
kids. Kids are bad.
I disagree with that. It's weird. And all right. Not for any comedy reason, but like I'm for serious though, like, because one, when I want drugs in the game, I want it to be as funny as those situations can be, and as serious as a situation can be, and I don't want that to be in the same scenario. I want those to be very separate.
Sure, different situations.
I want, like, when you're walking down the town, I want that weird crackhead to walk up and ask you for skooma because that's funny. And then the have it be like maybe a weird quest behind it too. That'd be a really funny quest for Elder Scrolls to do. Uh-huh. But then on the same note, maybe have like a quest where you're like helping someone try to get sober from their skooma addiction.
Yeah, you find
like
them
that.
In a skooma den,
and their kids, the kids ask you for help because they're like, "Mom's addicted to skooma. I need your help."
Yeah,
one of the most important things that happened in a piece of media. My favorite comic book hero comic line, the Green Arrow, they had a good, I think it was in the 80s, the Neil Adams line of Green Arrow comics. His sidekick got addicted to heroin, and they had a whole comic line about him ruining his life with drugs, and then, you know, all the fallout from it, and then the support circle came around and helped him recover. And it was a beautiful story, and it brought a lot of awareness to drug addiction, and it brought a lot of, like, touching moments and storytelling all at the same time. And to have that opportunity in an Elder Scrolls game, I mean, yeah, that would be a really touching quest. I think that would be a missed opportunity if they're going to do that just because, oh, we don't want to have kids and drugs in the same scene. No, that's a real topic. Let's do it and do it right.
Yeah, I'm fine with that theory. The way I took what Ben was saying was a little bit of the same way that I mean, I've joked about it, like when I'm blowing up everything in Fallout or whatever. I think it's more of like, let's not like torture kids by forcing them on. Yeah, like that. That's where I was going.
I don't want to see kids involving them.
Where it's like you can't gun down children in Fallout. It's like, you know, that's actually probably for the best. Like, let's have the kids not be blow upable.
I let's transition to that. I think fighting and hurting children, not so great.
We don't need that.
Kids in Skyrim annoy the living crap out of you.
You don't hurt them. But quest lines where you can't sell a kid into slavery in Fallout 4.
You can.
After he's been in a fridge for 200 years.
That's actually valid.
So he's not really a kid.
He's still a kid.
mentally, yes.
But here's where I think the boundary is okay.
It's still kid-sized too.
Contextual storytelling. Like, what if you come across a crypt and there's child-sized bones?
Right.
I think that's like the Dragon Priest tomb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, exactly. It's like the context, I feel, is very appropriate, like, to note with these things. It's not doing things for shock value, doing things for, like, right. narrative purposes.
If you're involving kids, it better be handled well.
Yeah.
And I feel like they try to do that most of the time. They tread pretty carefully with that. So at least the modern games, right? All right.
Yes.
Any other thoughts on any stuff that we have? I mean, there's language, but I don't like they don't speak our language the same way we do. They have swears, but like for like the dark elves have different swears. They're different words, right? Like, that's fine. I don't really care one way or
another. Let them use the F bombs.
Yeah, it's fine.
I just want to hear it once. That's all I want to hear.
I want to hear it in a funny context. I want to hear it when it's like
exactly
like maybe there's a dragon that somehow survived and there's like it's like.
We need to go back to ESO That's what we need to do.
Oh my god, that would be great.
Lyris deserves an F-bomb.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Well, we got to wrap up this episode. Thank you for joining me. I hope you guys enjoyed our weird sort of topic. It's a little bit out there, but I'm sure everybody's going to have opinions about this. So if you have thoughts on this and want to share the specifics, join us on Discord. Share your thoughts in the Elder Scrolls Lorecast channel. And here, let's go through everybody. And if you have something you'd like to shout out, a project you're doing, or just want to say, hey, this is how you can get a hold of me, whatever. Let's start with Rob.
Yeah, I still technically have an account on X, formerly known as Twitter. That's how I refer to it as a full sentence now.
I will never call it
X or just Twitter. It's X, formerly known as Twitter. Rob the Princess, you can follow me there if you want. I haven't posted there in a long time, and I don't know if that'll change, but maybe. And yeah, Guild Officer for the Lorecasters on the PCNA and EU guild, although mostly NA. Sorry, EU guys. So go ahead and join the guild, and we'll hang out with you there. Me and Jillian are doing stuff, mostly Jillian at the moment, because I'm still playing a lot of Baldur's Gate 3, but that's okay. That's it. Sky Oblivion Project, woohoo. I've done my shout out of that every single month. So, yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Rob. Spartan, I know you've got like... you got projects you're working on.
I do. Yeah. So I'm AK Spartan on the Discord. You can hit me up there, obviously. And then I still play a lot of Diablo 4. So if anybody wants my Battle.net, hit me up on the Discord. But other than that, So I am the newest member of the Rocket Club.
Woohoo!
And so I have a show that I've been working on. It's the Elden Archives, a From Software Lorecast. And, I have my co-host and I are working on that, and that's been underway, and I'm excited to keep that going, and guys can look forward to that.
Yeah, soon to be released in the upcoming weeks.
Yeah. And obviously Tom, I appreciate the opportunity, but also I want to, just while we're all here, I want to actually say thank you to Rob real quick, because Rob was actually the first person I bounced the idea off of when we were playing Baldur's Gate 3 one night, and Rob actually helped me out kind of figuring out when I wanted to do and everything. So I said, thanks, Rob, I appreciate you.
Yeah, no problem.
Romance is blooming. Bromance is blooming.
I am all for this podcast as soon as you make it live, because I don't know what the hell is going on in that game.
That was part of the reason I told him, I was like, you should do it, because I don't understand any of it.
I'm like 60 hours in Elden Ring, and I'm like, what is happening?
Yep. I mean, yep. Tolkien made a lot of the lore, back end lore, so that's
Tolkien's been dead for a while.
Martin. Martin. Yeah, that's why.
So you know the other wacky. Guy.
The other one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he did like the setup, and then the developers did everything after the setup.
Right. He
did the background of the world in like this original story, and then they were like, okay, and then everything fell apart, and this is where we're at now. But I'm sure Spartan's going to fill us all in on this when we check out the show. So awesome. Ben, and you've got a show too, right? Well, more than one show. Yeah,
multiple shows.
Multiple shows.
More than one.
You can find me in the Discord at Bennett Maria. You can, I am one of the hosts for Holocron History, Star Wars Canon versus Legends, the Final Fantasy Lorecast, the Wizarding World Lorecast, and now the Witcher Lorecast. So it's a lot.
Yeah, he's doing almost as many shows. Well, as many shows as I'm doing currently.
Gunning for your title of all the podcasts.
Yeah,
and I'm also very close on getting affiliated on Twitch. So go follow me at Bennett Tamari on Twitch. I literally have to get an average of 3 viewers within 30 days to get affiliated. Finally,
you can do it. You can do it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being here.
Tag me when you stream.
Will do.
Awesome. And Lotus, you got stuff?
I got a little bit of time to play Daggerfall and managed to progress the story. I uploaded the VODs to my YouTube, which is just Lotus of Doom, due to everybody requesting me to do so. I'm doing my best to get to them as quick as possible. I just have not had the time. We should be recording another episode of Tales of Tamriel coming up very soon, just kind of covering all the new stuff. And there's been a lot of news that's been happening, more than game stuff, actually, that's kind of covered the last couple of episodes. Shout out to Pete Hines and his retirement. I hope he enjoys his break. He's always a nice dude whenever I got to chat with him. But yeah, other than that, not too much. I'm just trying to find time to game and stuff like that. So yeah, if you're ever trying to get a hold of me, I'm just kind of Lotus of Doom anywhere I have an account. So
there you go. And of course, my stuff, I do a bunch of shows. So if you like Bethesda games, Fallout, Starfield, Lorecasts are out there. Lord of the Rings Lorecast, Mass Effect Lorecast. So come check our stuff out, robotsradio.net. Lots of awesome shows to check out. And thanks for being here. We'll be back next week with a regular episode. And until then, have a fun spoop end of Spooptober, Halloween.
No, not all of that spoop. Stuff. No, not Spooptober. Here too.
Spooptober.
No, spook.
Yeah.
Spooktober.
I'm gonna spoop.
No spooping. Aww. All right. Bye, everybody. Bye. See you later. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.